Hello, Gooners, you cheeky monkeys. Here we are, back, happy. We all had a big hangman. We've had a big man hug between us, and Sim's been warming up. Lovely. Have you finished your warm-up, Sim?
I have finished my warm-up. Thank you, Lovely. Dan.
Well, you're not here yet, so people don't know.
Oh.
Welcome to ABW Radio. Chris is, I don't know what Chris is doing. He's probably digging in the sand, looking for doubloons. Going to buy himself a new set of leather slingback wellies or whatever it is he spends his money on. West Ham 1, Arsenal 5. Wow, what a game, second half. I'm just looking at his greatness, Mr. Wenger, on the telly. Anyway, back to the point of the show. Tonight I have with me Carl.
Hello.
Are you here?
I think so.
Good. Josh, are you here?
Present.
And one of Goonosphere's finest, it's only Simmy Javel.
How do you do?
Don't put on that dodgy accent nonsense.
What are you talking about, sir?
Because what if I get internet problems, then I'll just have to come straight to you every time.
If the connection goes down, I will endeavour to fix it as soon as possible.
Oh, don't. That's disgraceful. Right then, gentlemen, what a fantastic second half of the game. There was a lot of people on Twitter bitching and moaning and saying, oh no, it's the end of the world. West Ham are going to do us. And up until I think we got the second goal, I really honestly thought that maybe they were going to do a fluky and get that twat Cowell to come on and score and it would end up 1-1. So I'll start with Carl. Ross and Josh, why do I get those two names mixed up? One of you's gonna have to change your name. I can't cope with it. So I'm gonna go Carl, then Josh, then Sim. So Carl, what was your thoughts on the game?
So first half was a bit slow, let's face it. It wasn't the best first half. We come out of the traps really fast and I thought we was gonna score about four goals quickly, but then we just died off. We were taking down the left and we was getting a lot of joy down the left hand side. Monreal just had the whole game. Now he had the whole pitch to himself. West Ham could not handle it. And then we just sort of faded and West Ham started to come into the game, and then typical, I thought, oh fuck, here we go again. Like typical, we're gonna concede. And I thought a big lump of shit Carroll's gonna come on, banging the header, and was gonna lose the game. But no, we persevered. Second half, something happened. I don't know. I think we had a bit of a nose candy in the dressing rooms, not saying anything. Thanks, Jack. And then we managed to score some brilliant goals. So I'm happy.
I agree with you 100%. I don't know at what point they decided to start taking pot shots at the goalie, but Sanchez's hat trick was in 14 minutes. Josh, what's your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it's kind of echo kind of Carl's thoughts. We were... yeah, not very clinical in the first half. I think we hadn't realised that their goalkeeper was shit. yeah. And then we eventually got to that. There was a bit of certain inevitability that Carroll was going to come on and score. It was just a case of when he'd actually come on and, you know, when he did, he looked a threat like always. And we just, I don't know who, you know, we've got three centre-backs on. No one could still deal with him. So... it's just going to be one of those that hopefully stays at a shit club like West Ham and we can still put five past any team he plays for.
Yes, good. Sim, would you like to give us some enigmatic words?
So I think the part of the game that I thought was really, really amazing as an Arsenal fan was this moment where Alexis just thinks to himself, I'm going to drill the ball low into the side of the keeper in the corner. And holy shit, it went in. And then again, let's try that again, because that was successful. And then afterwards, when you're like 3-1 up and he's chipping the keeper, and then Ox is thinking, well, I want a bit of this as well. Then you get the team actually flowing. But the little spark that made Alexis think, fuck it, I'm just going to shoot. No idea where that came from, but please can we have more of it? Because it was really nice to see and not have to dread the end of an Arsenal game where we're just 1-0 up, waiting for someone like Carroll or, I know, in the past, players like Drogba to just come on and nick a goal against us.
It did look like that was going to happen. Like I said, when we started, it had that written all over it, didn't it? Carroll would come on, make it 1-1, and then we all start moaning and bitching that football is broken, that Wenger needs sacking. Or does anybody think he needs sacking today? Anybody that's listening or anybody here, does he need sacking? Is it Wenger out? Is it fuck? Let's have a few stats from the game. The shots on goal, we had 18, they had 10. Of our 18 shots on goal, 9 are on target, 3 of theirs are on target. surprisingly enough, Darren Randolph managed to block three of those shots. I don't know how he managed to block three. It's probably the best game that he's had for ages. Before we were starting this, I was remembering that Darren Randolph, when he played for Birmingham in the Championship, there was some kind of unbelievable record against Bournemouth. And Birmingham, with him in goal, Birmingham lost 8-0 at home to Bournemouth. Then they lost 4-2, and then I think they lost by 4-1. And so that was 16 goals he conceded in three games against them. So that's the kind of goalkeeper they got in there. Wasn't one of you three saying that some of the fans were getting a bit annoyed because they had Adrian on the bench?
So a few of my West Ham fans, it's sort of the typical thing Arsenal fans will do as well when they see that Drew's on the bench. Well, fuck it, if he's on the bench, then play him, right? But naturally, a player might not be fully fit and still be on the bench. It's up for dispute. But it's really fun to see other fans do that with their own players and knowing that they have someone that has that record just in goal when their first keeper is just sitting on the bench. It's just glorious to watch.
To be fair, Adrian's not any better.
As a shot stopper, Adrian isn't bad, to be fair. And I think West Ham were unlucky in that they did lose, was it Collins they lost quite early on?
Yeah.
And the guy that came, it was it Liverpool?
Arbeloa, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Arbeloa.
Right back.
Yeah, and it was down the left to that right back that we were dominating them. So that clearly affects you. Like 9 minutes into a game, you change one of your back, one of the line. So it's understandable, I think. And And though, to be fair, BT Sport did not shut the fuck up about that. And I just wanted to scream. Well, we don't have Hector either. I mean, where is our sympathy? They spent 40 minutes just lording on, oh, well, West Ham have this player missing, this player missing, this player missing. Well, just fuck off. But 5-1.
That's the same Arbeloa who was at Real Madrid and Liverpool for most of his career, and he's won. He's been the Spanish league runners-up 7 times, according to Soccer Way. They're going to win, and he's won the Champions League twice. So what the hell he is doing at West Ham, I don't even think he knows. Made a few notes about the games. Before the game started, there was I'm not sure how this got out or who said it, but I wrote here lineups. Jenkinson left out due to, little quotey things, confidence, meaning we had our fifth right back in a space of a month. I think it's maybe a month or 6 weeks. And Carl, do you know what Wenger actually said, and why is it a good idea to come out and go, oh, Jenkinson, he's got a bit of confidence issue at the moment, he's got a few spots, he's at home with a duvet? That's basically what he said, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. I think he left him up because apparently Jenkinson was on Twitter and saw some tweets apparently that's what happened. For me, I'm going to say an unpopular view right now. I'm sorry. People are allowed to criticise you if you're not good at your job. I mean, I know some of our fan base are really, really stupid, like so silly, but who goes on Twitter? Like, he must have Googled himself or something like that to read some sort of comments, because you can't go in your life without people thinking that you're not good at your job. I mean, I work for London Underground. If I read every single tweet about where's someone's train or why is it signal faded like that, I'd be in a ball, like curled up. So I know it's not the same thing and I totally understand, but for me, you've got to man up a little bit. You know, the best way to show that, you know, you are good enough is to go out for the next game and prove that you're better, prove that you can play brilliantly. And Jenkinson, okay, he's not the number one right back, he's not, and he probably never will be at the club. But I think for Arsene Wenger to come out and say, oh, he's got confidence issues, and that's why he's not going to play. So imagine now, every time he has a bad game and the fans get on him, and the fans will get on him no matter what, because there's no way that the fans are going to put an arm around him and say, oh, well done, Jenkinson, you're absolutely brilliant, if he doesn't have a good game, because he's going to have a bad game like between now and the end of the season. That's without a shadow of a doubt, like all of our players are going to. But I think for Arsene Wenger to come out and say that, he must have just gone down he's got a slight injury sort of route. That's what I would have done, because for him to come out and say that, he lost his confidence. You're a footballer, you know, you've got thousands of people weekly calling you a cunt and calling you this and calling you that. People on Twitter who are saying that, oh, you're shit and you're doing that, shouldn't bother you. That's just my personal opinion, and I understand that it's an unpopular view, but you should be able to sort of handle that if you're a professional footballer.
Very wise words there. That's why I agree with nearly everything Carla says. And talking about the Underground, the Offspring today used the Underground. She was at a show at Olympia. She wasn't on show. She went to a beauty show, and she loved the Underground. She really enjoyed it. There you go. Just reading some of the comments in that I like to do. I'm going to host it, a press record, do everything else, and read the comments as well. What is ringing me? Oh, fuck off. I don't know who that number is. JTMUK, he says, but if we lose the next game, I'm Wenger out. Marble Halls, as usual, has got some brilliant comments. And Gabriel played well through, commendable after all that stuff that's happened in Brazil. And he's put Jenkinson is a pro. He needs to get the fuck over it. And then there was one other one. Carlito El Guna says Gabriel was a rock today. And I agree with that. I definitely think he was. Josh, what's your thoughts on the Jenkinson situation? And have you got any friends that can possibly play right back? Because it looks like we've run out of them. Five in the space of, this season is easier to say rather than this month.
Yeah, I do feel for Jenko. It's a lonely place being out on the wing. He's going to hear all the comments from the crowd. I don't think it's Twitter. It's a problem. He should have been trained in how to deal with someone who's probably got the profile picture of an egg calling him a cunt. But in the stadium, it's a different matter. You can hear everything there, especially, in this, depending which way they're playing, he's going to have the away fans on his back as well at some point in the game. He's just come back from an injury. He's, which would have knocked his confidence anyway. So he would have had a problem. And then he's come back into the game and he's getting cunted off left, right and centre without really being given a chance. Maybe it is a time for the fan base, especially within the stadium, to look at themselves and go, maybe we should, give them a bit more time. These players coming back from injury. Rambo's got exactly the same treatment, but he's just not on the wing. So you won't hear it as much in the stadium. It's probably a little bit mentally stronger. But that's what I've got to say on Jenko. And I can't play right back. If we need a left back, fine.
Oh, are you left-footed?
Yeah.
Oh, that means you're supreme. Are you an artist as well?
Maybe.
People that are left-footed. Are you left-handed?
Ambidextrous.
Oh, that doesn't mean he can clap with his feet. That means he can use either hand. When I sign any kind of contracts, I always sign it left-handed because then they can never prove it's me. Yeah. Throughout the history of humankind, left-handed people tend to be the more talented one. There you go.
Yeah. Mesut Ozil and me, we're basically peas in a pod. What can I say?
And I can use neither hand. I think that sums it all up. Tim, do you agree with what the points that Carl and Josh were making? I haven't called him Ross yet. My brain keeps going, don't say Ross! Don't say, like on the show, on the main podcast, we had, on the show, like the Southampton one, we had Ross on. And I think right to the very end, and then I called him Josh. It's the O's and the S's. I just can't deal with them. Tim.
Yeah, so just with, as far as being ambidextrous, I have the same thing, but with my feet. Meaning when I play football, I'm equally shit with both of them. So that's fantastic.
You haven't got a touch of the Ozils then.
No, I've got I've got every touch that Ozil has come from me. And I'm touch quite of the happy benders. Knowing that.
He scored last night, I'll have you know. Brilliant.
Well, I think Carl was a bit harsh on Jenkinson. And the only reason I'd say that is... and actually, I think he was harsh more so even on how Wenger has decided to deal with it. I think it does make sense, especially for the time that Jenkinson's at with his career and progressing forward within Arsenal, where he needs to actually confront the issue. He's not really at a point now where he's a really young player and it makes sense. Okay, let's just say that it's not a confidence issue. We'll just pretend you had a bit of a niggle. He is at a point where he needs to step up and actually, okay, if the issue he's having is confidence, then he needs to face that, right? And I think... I don't know, maybe baptism of fire, and maybe, if anything, I'd say Wenger's actually being quite harsh. It's not something that Wenger would traditionally do with players. He's generally quite nurturing, and he'll put them in an environment where they can grow and try and actually protect them and take all the blame upon himself where possible. With Jenkinson, he's decided not to do that at this point, maybe because he sees this as the point in time where Jenkinson either needs to fix up and actually sort his stuff out, or he's ultimately going to have to leave the club, and we'll just have to get another fifth choice right back. Is he first choice? It's what? Bellerin, Chambers on loan. We have Debuchy, who's just perpetually injured.
Debuchy.
And then what, Gabriel? I didn't know Gabriel could properly play right back.
I don't think he can. He's just good.
He's not been doing bad. Actually, Gabriel's really surprised me. I've had slight reservations just because he can't speak English yet. And that slightly worried me. And I saw Alexis give an interview recently where his English has actually improved quite a lot. And I just hope that Gabriel goes down the same route. But Pim playing at right back, he's not been overly rash. He's got to the ball properly. And he can't cross for shit. But he's there at least as an option. And for one of Alexis's goals, where I think his second one, or no, his first one, sorry, where he just decided to go forward and shoot across on that acute angle, Gabriel was there as an option, which meant the defender couldn't fully commit because he wasn't sure which way Alexis was going. So actually, yeah. Another thing for Benko to be worried about, to be fair.
To be fair, having a right back playing for Arsenal that can't cross isn't anything new.
True.
See, that's the other thing that makes me feel sad for Jenko, because the one thing people used to say was, okay, Bellerin's far better in every other aspect, but Jenks is quite a good crosser of the ball.
And he is an absolutely fantastic crosser, and we saw that when he came in, but people were too busy cutting him off.
Yeah, and that's slowly fallen off as well. I think also not having Giroud in there to actually be on the end of things. The team dynamic has changed in how I think we're becoming more pace-driven, and Giroud is just a fantastic plan B.
Well, they're saying that the squad and the lineup that came up was quite airily strong, I thought, especially that I've seen in a while. We actually had players that, you know, could put themselves about a bit. Even Alexis is great in the air, albeit that he's 5'2".
But then you have Ox and Theo that aren't really... I mean, Xhaka's quite tall, and then you've got both the centre-backs. But I don't know, Giroud adds a lot to our game, airily, I think. And it's hard to emulate that.
It's just a different option, because with Alexis, most of the stuff is played along the floor. I think with Giroud, you can go the long option if you wanted to and play the ball over the top to get him to get over to headers and also cross the ball in, because he gives you that option of the knockdowns. I remember a goal that sticks out is the one from Bournemouth last year, where he knocked it down for Ozil. And Ozil hit into the roof of the net. And I remember the goal sticks out in my head because it was something that I was crying out. And I thought to myself, if we played Giroud up with a two, that's what he'd do all day. He'd knock downs for another striker, and the other striker would just come and, well, hopefully bang them in. So that kind of, with Giroud, I think he does play better when someone plays up alongside him.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's, if you can't beat them with one style of football, bring Giroud on, play a different style of football, and very rarely you're going to get a team that we can't play and beat them with one or the other style of football. And I personally think that when Giroud comes on off the bench, he's angry Giroud, and angry Giroud scores goals, as we've seen this season. Someone has put in the chat thing, oh God, it's gone, I've lost it now. GunaShy77, Ambi Pedal. I think that might mean feet.
I think that's what Santi has.
Yeah, Santi, yes. Oh, don't bring up Santi. You see a grown man crying. I've given him grief and now I feel so. Wouldn't be surprised if he never plays for the club again, because he might be off in the summer.
Danny, why were you giving Santi grief?
Because he doesn't score goals. This was the beginning of last season when he was playing. And we had both of him and Cock were in the middle, and neither of them could score goals. I said, we can't do anything with Santi if he's not going to score goals. And it turns out we can. He just lets everyone else score goals.
Okay.
He scores penalties. Ozil and Alexis have got problems with that. So
Alexis has never taken that one, should he?
Yeah.
Janu's asking, "Wow, where's Chris?" Well, at the moment, Gimli is he's got internet trouble. He's got a problem with his laptop, and he's getting stressed out of it all. So he's been away. Plus, he's been on holiday and doing other stuff. So at the moment, it's Jason and Chris are taking it in alternate weeks to host the podcast, because the podcast you have to leave it a little bit more organised and a little bit more sensible to host that. And I don't really want to do that. So I'll be doing this when Chris doesn't fancy it, because he did on Thursday and he can't go. You can't when you've got as much talent as Mr. Davis and Chris, you can't milk them too much. So I can come on it, because it doesn't really matter what we do, and it's only an hour and I don't have to take the pressure. So yeah, I'll be doing this whenever Chris doesn't want to. We might get another one of you lot to do. I know Carl, you're quite keen to do a bit of hosting on here, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you never know, if I can fob it off onto Carl, you'll never see me again. That's what I did with Chris. Have any of you lot ever gone and seen the first the live ones we did, the radio ones? Jesus. Oh, don't go back and look at them. They're so bad. I've gone back and re-edited the name of them on our YouTube channel, saying, don't look at this. It's terrible. We had no idea what we were doing. Anyway, back to the game. And the other point I want to bring up is the starting middle, the two in the middle. Xhaka got a start. And want to know, what did you think of his performance and his partnership with the Cock, Carl?
I thought Xhaka was really good today. I really did. I think he done the simple things well, and that's what you need. When someone's not overly flamboyant, he just does everything you need to do. He worked well with Coquelin. He was popping the ball left, right and centre, passing it forward, not passing it backwards. And I thought, you know, the little things and the minor things that he wants a centre midfielder to do, just to be very simple, get the ball down and pass it and move. Get the ball, pass it and move. I thought he'd done really, really well today. And it's something that, you know, we've been crying out for. And I know probably because he didn't score a hat-trick, people weren't really sort of praising for what he'd done. But I thought today he was really, really good. You know, he was made loads of interceptions. His passing was very, very good today. I thought really good. His distribution was really good as well. So for me, Xhaka was brilliant, and Coquelin was brilliant as well. You know, he sort of set up the first goal by his block, which he passed to Alexis. So, yeah, for me, the centre midfield today was very, very good, but we played against a shit West Ham team, so, you know.
Would they be your partnership too going forward, or do you think for the rest of this season we're going to see a mix and match depending on who we're playing against in the middle two?
I think we will see a mix and match. I think ultimately, I think we will see Ramsey come in there. I know Arsene keeps saying he's not 100% yet, which I believe he's probably not. But I do think that you'll see, you definitely will see Ramsey come in, definitely. I'm not a fan at all of the Elneny-Coquelin partnership in the slightest, not at all. Maybe if you're seeing out a game, you're 1-0 up, 10 minutes to go or 20 minutes to go, yeah, that's the partnership you want. But starting the game, I don't think them two are the ones, because there's no creativity there. So those two definitely need to start.
The nerdy one. I've been invaded by morons. This one is the one who went on the underground today, didn't you? Cole works here. He runs the underground. You liked it, didn't you?
No, shithole.
Hey! Out! You said you liked it. It was all right. You went on your own.
Like it.
Oh, that's it. I'm gonna block her Oyster card now.
Yeah, he's blocking your Oyster card.
Do I have one?
Oh, she jumped him.
Have an Oyster card.
Right, go away now. You're annoying me. Right. What? Oh dear, she's got ripped knees. She fell over. I nearly said Ross then, Josh. We can almost see you, Josh. We're gonna have to, if everyone can have a whip round and send some kind of light and picture, we're gonna have a picture of a meadow in behind you, just to so we can see you from prison, so it doesn't look like you're locked up in your cell.
That would be nice.
What's your thoughts on the Xhaka Coquelin midfield two? And do you agree with Carl that we will see Ramsey sooner rather than later? Is that what you said, that kind of gist of what you said, Carl?
Yeah.
I was that twat shouting at me, so I couldn't hear it all.
The Xhaka and the Cock looks to be probably how we're going to go for the rest of the season, especially against teams that are going to be more aggressive in their play. When we get to a team that's going to play a little bit more open, and we don't need necessarily the shield of the Cock in front of Xhaka to be kind of picking up all those interceptions and playing them to someone who can pass, then we'll see Ramsey come in front. Otherwise, I think we'll see Rambo back out on the wing. It's the place he's only really going to play in this team. And I'm sure I've seen it in the chat already somewhere, where he's got people saying that Ramsey should be off. So, but yeah, I think the Cock and the Shack probably see us through the season with Cazorla out.
Do you think we need to bring somebody in? I know this is mainly for today's game, but long term, do you think we need to bring somebody in, or have we got more than enough people to mix and match all the way through the season?
All the way through the season, we've got enough. In the summer, the name that I'm now tipping to come in to replace Santi is Rafinha Alcantara from Barcelona.
Barcelona. Wasn't he at Bayern?
No, Thiago's his older brother that plays for Bayern. He's at Barca.
What's his surname?
Alcantara.
Alcantara, isn't that a seating option on a 1986 Ford Mondeo? Sierra. Alcantara leather. Carl, who would you like to see come in and replace Santi before we move on to Sim to talk about the midfield too?
I don't really know. I've not really thought about it, but
you have a little think, and then I'll come back to you after I've spoken to our Sim.
Oh, if anyone mentions Cesc, they can fuck off.
Yes, 100%.
I mean, if I could have any player to replace Santi, I'd probably want Verratti. It's just not going to happen because he's probably only going to move to Italy.
Oh, that's the one, yes.
That would be a dream. Yeah. He's so good and he'd be so perfect.
And I think Chris was saying that as well. I think he said that during the radio show that we did that day. He said he loves him, but there's no chance he'll ever come to us. What's your thoughts on the midfield today and going forward?
So I remember there was a stat that was going around a few days ago about our win percentage when Xhaka's on the pitch versus when Cox on the pitch starting the game. And I don't think we've lost a game with Xhaka starting yet.
He hasn't really started that many, has he? So it wouldn't be that hard.
It's about equivalent. So I think it was something off the top of my head, like 7 wins, 3 draws versus Cock, who was like 6 wins, 5 draws, 4 losses or something. So, and I think Arsenal actually do pay badly when Cock isn't next to a ball player next to him. One thing that I loved about Xhaka today was he was setting the tempo of our attacks. So off one of the counters, Xhaka got the ball. And with every other instance beforehand, he'd play the ball very quickly to feet to Ozil or to Alexis, someone just to continue the attack. But this time he paused. He went to Nacho, he went round, sort of held the ball and just waited for an opportunity. Played a pass that cut open straight to Alexis, who was then able to feed it to the side, and we cut them open in an instant. And it's the kind of thing where if you had Elneny and Cock there, I don't think either of them have the sort of foresight to do that. They'd instinctively just play it out as quickly as possible. So and that's the other thing that Santi gives you. As a tempo-playing midfielder, it's someone that runs games. I always have this discussion with people about Ozil. Ozil isn't a midfielder that will run games. He's a midfielder that will turn games. Give him like a few touches on the ball and he'll create something out of nothing. But it's players like Santi, the Verratti's, and even Xhaka to an extent in this game, and players that will set the tempo for midfield. And running that, I think, is the most important thing. So I think as it is now with Santi out, we have to build our midfield too around Xhaka. And whether Cock is the best person for that, or whether you want to use Elneny with him, or even if Rambo can, called him Rambi for a second there, if you can play Rambo with him there in the centre, if that works, I don't know. But I think it has to be built around Xhaka just for the need that we have on the counter-attack, especially when you're looking at Alexis and potentially 2 fast wide players to the side of him.
Ah, that's very wise words, Tim. That's why you're here. These twats are going now.
Bye.
Bye.
I think we've managed to find husbands for the pair of you. pair of them. Good riddance. I'm missing Strictly because of this. Oh, yes. Right, get rid of that. Yeah, I agree with your point, Tim. Santi. Oh, keeps happening, doesn't it? And it's making me sad. Right, we've been doing this for fucking ages. We haven't even gotten to the first goal yet. I've put 24th minute West Ham defender walking the ball out. No, not a care in the world. I'll just get the ball and I'll go for a little stroll, and he decides to pass it to someone, and Sanchez goes, I'm having that, jumps on top of it, and then he passes it to Ozil, and Ozil goes, I could do this with my eyes closed, for his 8th goal of the season. Carl, thoughts on the first goal?
Yeah, like I said before, I think the Western defender tried to play it out, and I think it was...
you can't Cochran do that in front of Sanchez, can you?
No, it was Coquelin. Coquelin blocked it, and it ran into Sanchez's path, and Sanchez has unselfishly squared it to Ozil. It was 1-0.
Oh, it's Coquelin who did it?
Yeah,
Coquelin. Because I'm watching I'm Chromecasting the BT from my phone. I couldn't rewind it, and I was busy typing, going, oh, I might have got to get it typed out before I forget. Oh, so it was Coquelin that blocked it.
Yeah, played it to when it fed into Sanchez's path, and he squared it to Ozil, and it was just brilliant because we just cut open the West Ham defence, and it's something that, you know, the most simplest of goals can look really, really great, and it's something that you really want to see all the time. And that Ozil to Sanchez and Sanchez to Ozil partnership is just absolutely brilliant. It's something that I want to stay at Arsenal for years and years to come. Them two have got a partnership, and it's absolutely brilliant the way them two play together, and long may it continue.
Josh, does that remind you a little bit of the Henri Bergkamp thing? I was watching it as I was watching the game. I was thinking those two are trying to outdo each other with their skills. Like a couple of the goals that Sanchez scored, the chip reminded me of one of the Ozil against Ludogorets, and the way that Sanchez scored. I think the second goal, he tried it against Bournemouth, didn't he? He ran almost to the touchline and tried powering it into the top of the net. What was your thoughts on the first goal?
The first goal, the only note I've really got is easy like Sunday morning for that one. Because that's all it was. It was simple, effective. And, you know, Ozil already had the cigar going by the time he was tapping it into the net. It was that easy.
Well, there you go, short sweet. Sim, wise words, go.
I think it's been quite interesting this season because Ozil's just traded in assists for goals like it was absolutely nothing. And what's he on at the moment for the season? six or something?
Number of goals?
Yeah.
Eight, isn't it?
Is it eight? There you go. I mean,
I did do, while you're talking of this, I did do a tweet of this. Here we go. The Ox has six goals in 17 games. Mm-hmm. Ozil has eight in 18. Sanchez, 13 in 19. Walcott has nine in 16. Wow. Okay.
And the interesting thing about that is people were still slating Theo today quite heavily, which, okay, fine, admittedly, had a bit of a quiet game, but the same people that are doing that, I've seen in the comments a few times, they're still defending Jack and thinking that he's going to come back and be the replacement to Santi. So, I don't know, sometimes I find it weird that we afford some players so much time to get things right, but players like Jenks and Ramsey, it seems they have a target on their back no matter what. Mm-hmm. So I know sometimes it'd be nice to have a little bit of consistency. Like, I'd rather we treated every player like we treated Jack in that case. Like, during the games at least.
We can't be one-dimensional the whole time. It would be bad if we only had one player playing. Like when we had Van Persie, he was mainly the only player that we had that did anything for games. Before that, it was Fabregas. So now we've got Sanchez playing as the striker. We've got Ozil behind him. We've got Walcott to the right. We've got Ox at the moment to the left. And all four of those are all banging in the goal. So the midfielders can just carry on defending and setting stuff up. Now, if we only had one avenue of doing everything, then every team would go, well, all we have to do is mark one player. But when we've got that four that can all move around, because every single one of them can play in everyone else's position. I mean, I even heard that Walcott, when he was at Southampton, used to play on the left, which I think Ross was saying that, or somebody said that. I didn't know that. So all of those players, and then as a defender, I've said it at the beginning of the season when we started playing this way, it's like a conveyor belt. All four of them can just move around all over the place. And as a defender, you go, well, am I zonal marking? Am I going to do man-to-man marking? If I do, I'm just going to be pulled off all over the place.
But then that's part of the reason why I don't like the idea of us individually singling out one member of our attack when we've scored five goals, because really they're working as a collective. So Theo running them down on the right is making them weaker on the left, for example, left and right. But just in general, it doesn't really make much sense.
I think
our attack is becoming more fluid.
It certainly is. Yeah. Ozil, one goal, one assist. Sanchez, three goals and one assist. The Ox got one goal, one assist. It's fantastic. I mean, I don't know who got it. It says here for the 80th minute, Sanchez is second. It doesn't say who got the assist on that. Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. That's just, there you go, soccer way. You need to get that edited and get that in. Right, the next point. I was going to mention about the Ox because when he starts the game, he tries so hard that it does make life a little bit hard for him. And then I've put here, when he comes on as a sub, he is usually much more effective than that. But that pass to Sanchez on 34 minutes, Carl, that was a thing of beauty, wasn't it? Split the defence.
It was brilliant. And my problem is that sometimes, who's not on mute? Is that me?
It's not me.
One of you that's not on mute.
I put myself on mute so that you don't get feedback. It's just a nice thing to do. Jesus. I won't do it anymore.
No, it was brilliant. And that's what frustrates me a bit about the Ox, because he's got the potential and he's got the ability to do things like that, but he doesn't show it all the time. Like, I'm quite aware that not everyone can play to their full potential all the time. I totally get that. But, you know, when he does things like that, you do think to yourself, why can't you do that more often? Why can't you show people that how good you can actually be? And, you know, we're always waiting for Ox's potential to come through. And in games like this, he shows it. So for me, he just needs to be a bit more consistent with sort of what he does on the football pitch. And if he is, then people will start rating him highly because he is a good player. And it, for me, it's just consistency that sort of lets him down.
Is that something that, I mean, he's been at Arsenal now for, what, six seasons? And, I did have his page up, his Wikipedia page, but he's now scored more goals than he has in any other season. Do you think if he gets enough games, that he might get the kind of form that he has done for England? Because I think his form for England has probably been overall over his career better than it has been for Arsenal. Because he's got five goals in 30 games or something crazy like that? I don't know why that's crazy. Something interesting like that, I'll change it to.
But like I said, he shows that he can do it, you know, if he puts his mind to it. And, you know, I think it's just the basic things. It's like kind of with Aaron Ramsey. If he does the basic things first, then, you know, the harder things will come. Slow your game down. Just do what you need to do. Don't try and be too flashy. And, you know, the goals and the assists will come because he's got pace to burn. So, you know, he can outrun probably most defenders in the Premier League. All he needs is a bit more consistency just to make his game more simplified, and the goals and the assists will flow because he's got the potential there. And like I said, it's just consistency that he needs in his game.
He's got 5-24 for England, and this season is his best one now with 6 goals. The best season before that was his first season with us, where he got 4-26. Josh, what's your thoughts on the Ox?
Well, when you've just gone back to his first season, that's the note that I've got down for that goal. Reminded me of his goal. He had that confidence like when he played against Olympiakos, when he had his Champions League debut and scored that from a goal from outside the box. If anyone can remember back to that goal.
No. The only goal I remember from that stuck in my mind is the one he scored against Monaco, and that's in my brain until the day I die, and that was beautiful.
Yeah, he's got a similar one on his Champions League debut, and that was, he looked...
Oh, was it a dead rubber, where we just played a load of younger players?
I don't think it was. It was definitely at the Emirates.
The last qualifying game of the campaign.
Potentially, I can't think that far
just
back.
Just say yes, we'll make it up.
Yeah. We can edit that out, right?
In his first season with us, 11-12, he actually played 9 games and scored 1 goal for England, and since then he's never played that many games for England in one season, or a calendar year.
And he's just been injured, hasn't he, across that period. But he does look like he's slowly getting back to that confidence. And I've said before on pods that he looks like Alexis is his idol now, and he's just learning off him. So in terms of movement and, you know, pace, now he's just hitting the ball. Just looks to be like he's just watching everything that Alexis does. And it can only be for the good of Arsenal that he does that.
Good point there. Sim, Josh just raised the point about learning from Alexis. Back in the day, we always used to say that when young players at Arsenal, they'd be learning from Bergkamp, Henri, Perez and Ljungberg. Are we in a similar situation with that now? And what's your thoughts on the Ox and his performance today? God, that's a lot, isn't it? That take you an hour. I'm going to go make something to eat while you answer that.
Well, I think just in general, the greatest thing that we saw transitioning past stadium debt was the fact that we weren't losing players anymore. So when you have to like give up your best players like Fabregas, so I'd even say the same, and I know people give me a lot of shit for this, but I'd say the same thing for players like Ramsey. And I'd say we bring in someone in like Xhaka in the centre of midfield. You've got Ozil, best 10 in the world. You've got Alexis up front, who looks in a lot of ways like he's emulating Suarez's last season at Liverpool. And just having that talent around you just forces you to be better, because these players in practice, when they're trying things, I don't know, if they're giving the ball to you quicker, you just have to be more responsive. And I think the players around them are being pushed. It was a point that you made ages ago. With Alexis and Ozil, it's going to be about whether they can push everyone up to their level or whether everyone drags them down.
I don't remember that, but that's a fucking good thing to say. That's true. Yeah. And it seems to, they are dragging everyone up.
Yeah, and I think with Chambo today, because I don't have this thing where I like being overly selective. I think if you're looking at how well a player has played in a game, goals tend to be quite a bad measure, which is because we watch a low-scoring sport. Stuff like XG, number of chances created, that type of thing is a better metric over long periods of time, just from a statistical point of view. And Ox actually made a lot of bad decisions. I love for him that he scored a wonderful goal, and I'm not going to take that away from him. How could anyone? But there is still a case where he's in situations, it's almost like he's overthinking it too much. And he's such an instinctual player that just seems to have an overall negative effect to him. And I really hope it's the kind of thing that he sorts out, because athletically, and as far as everything else is concerned, he's got the perfect body and ability and skill to be as good a player as Alexis, if not get better over time. But mentally, I still don't think he's making the best decisions that he could in any given position. And I think having regular game time, which is something that he's really not had in long periods for his Arsenal career, is going to be the thing that makes or breaks that for him. So it's going to be an interesting one to see develop.
On that point of Alexis and making poor decisions, he made quite a few today.
I meant
Sanchez was making some decisions where he's playing some balls in behind. What the key one to see that both for Alex and Alexis, they're both learning from their mistakes. When Alexis had that chance to round the goalkeeper, but he stood tall, couldn't get round him.
Is that when the Ox put him through on the 34th minute, the one that I just mentioned?
Yeah, put him through.
Like he took one touch too many on that.
Yeah, but then you look
not,
at
not
how
that
he goes
criticizing
to
criticising the man's fucking genius.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at it, and I think Shredder said to our group that should he have gone down in that moment, and you know, he's got that skill to go around the keeper and continue and score that. Then you look at when he does actually go around the keeper for his third goal, he makes sure he does that disgusting dummy step over to
dirty.
Make sure the keeper actually goes down. It's filth, utter filth.
If you did that on FIFA, you'd be sent off.
Exactly.
But I think that's one of the things that makes Alexis so endearing, just on that point, Josh, is that when he makes mistakes, he is the first person that will go back to get the ball back. And
yeah,
that's something
absolutely
that we didn't always see with Ox, so we didn't see with all the other players in the team. And I think that there must have been a situation where where Alexis is like, okay, I've lost the ball, I'm tracking back. Why are you guys not doing the same thing? And overall, we've seen our game develop into a more desire to get the ball. Like, you've seen it with Walcott throughout the season. He has not been as defensive in any other season than this one, as far as I can remember, at least, as far as like tracking back and covering. And that's something that I think is slowly coming to the Ox as well, because I don't mind if he tries some bit of skill on the corner of the box and he doesn't beat the defender and loses the ball, go back and win it back, try again. And I think that mentality of constantly winning the ball, constantly actually trying new things and actually working together is the thing that Alexis is slowly infecting all of the players around him with. I think it's really good to see.
Absolutely. Him and El Nene with work rate are just bringing a whole new level of fitness to the club.
El Nene's ridiculous. I've seen him play, like, start games in the 94th minute. The man's sprinting across the pitch.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like Olympic levels of fitness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mubin here says, Sanchez reminds me of Suarez a few seasons ago. Didn't one of you three make that point?
Yeah, I said that it seemed like he was slowly starting to emulate Suarez's last season, which makes me worry, because I think, I don't know why, but perception I have is that Ozil has more love for sort of Arsenal and Arsenal than Alexis does. So I think we might need to kidnap both of Alexis's dogs and make him sign a contract.
That's the take their passports off him. Then he can't take him abroad, can he? He's here forever. Yeah, I do worry that he is so good and so influential with us. I think Ozil's going to stay. Ozil's happy. But I do sometimes worry that Sanchez might think and might be tempted to maybe, I don't know, Italy, somewhere like that. I mean, Juventus have got a lot of money, but I don't know. We've got enough money to keep him.
This is probably a question for the pod, but why do you think it is that Arsenal always let their big players' contracts run down to like 18 months? Like any other big club, when it comes to about 2 years, straight away they'll be starting contract talks. And I know contract talks take a long time. You know, it's not just the sort of thing where you just say, here's 200 grand, do you want to sign it? Yes, no, whatever. I know players these days probably need assurances about their futures. But why is it that Arsenal, and we did it with Fabregas, we did it with Van Persie, we now doing it with Ozil and also Alexis. Like, why is it we let our good players' contracts run down to like so little time?
I think it's something for comes from the top, because Wenger's currently running down his contract, so to speak.
He does all the time, though, doesn't he?
Absolutely. So that's the way he does.
He's made a point and said he'll never, he'll always see out his contract, and the club probably go, well, we'll just wait till the week before it expires then.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also comes down to how much faith Wenger puts in his players in general, that he thinks they're going to stay, irrespective of what their contract situation is.
But we've been burnt by this like in the past. Like, obviously, this is a question I think for the main pod. But you know, we've been burnt by this so many times in the past, and you think they've learned from their lessons that, you know, we wouldn't let some of our brilliant players' contracts run down to like a year left or 18 months left.
And so I would say something similar along the lines to what Josh said, but equally, the honest answer is we just don't know. And I think it's hard to get complete clarity on that kind of situation. We don't know if it's a situation where agents know that they can play hardball with us or anything. And like at this point, all I'm doing is speculating, right? I think there is a faith element. I think there is an idea that Arsene, in his mind, shows so much faith to the players that he just expects it to be returned. And I think that's why it stings so much when you have the cases like Fabregas and you have just to him personally, because you can tell that it's affected him quite a lot as well. So I think that's probably why it stings so much, because he just has this unbelievable faith that only he can give to the players. And when it's not returned, then, I guess we get stunk.
Dom has wise words on this. He says, Arsene isn't the one signing the contracts and offering them to the players, guys, come on. And then he says, as if we don't try, I think it's the players running it down, squeezing. It's not that we just neglect the talks. Wise words, Dom, you Antipodean love hunk. I think the other thing is, if you imagine like a player's on 100 grand a week and he's got 18 months to go on his contract, and you know he's going to want 150, if you sign a new contract then that means that you've got 18 months of paying him an extra 50 grand a week. Whereas if you leave it to 5 minutes before he signs a new contract, that last 18 months, you're still paying him 100 grand. I mean, something like that's got to have something to do with it. But if we owned it, we'd go, right, 5-year contract, how much do you want? There you go, sign it. I'd have all their contracts signed and done the same afternoon that they wanted to talk about it. None of that or in negotiations. 5 minutes, how much do you want? Done, thanks, next. But it's not that easy, is it? It is on Football Manager, isn't it, Carl?
Easy.
Actually, the last time I played that was 2015, and even then they were fucking around with agents going, oh, no, we're going to come back. No, sign it now. I want it for Football Manager 2010. How much do you want? Click, done. Thank you. Goodbye. Right, how long have we been going? 45 minutes, and we're still only at 1-0. I think we're only at 1-0. Okay, Shredder. He wanted to know about, should Sanchez have gone down for the penalty when challenged by the keeper? I'll start with Carl.
No, if you know better, do better. Not at all, because the same sort of people who we was sort of cutting off Ali for doing it today, well, he's a fucking idiot. I can't stand him.
Who was that? You know,
Ali today. Do you see his dive?
Oh, Dele Alli. Dele yeah. Belly. No, I've not seen anything.
Oh, you should see his dive today. It was absolutely disgusting.
He does it a lot, though, doesn't he?
Really bad. And, you know, I think if our players did it, you know, we're in for what's the word I'm looking for now?
Spaghetti?
Yeah, something like that. No, but our fans wouldn't be happy, and other fans wouldn't be happy if our players dived. And I don't think diving is the way forward. I know people say, oh, no, you're playing smart. Or
we're better than that.
He bought that penalty. No, you either dived or you didn't. There's no in between, I think. Just like Jamie Vardy bought a lot of penalties last year. No, he didn't. He dived a lot last year. So, no, I don't think he should have dived.
Josh?
Oh, hang on. On mute.
yeah. Can't edit that out.
I don't think he should have gone down. I think what he was trying to do was try and lob the keeper, and the keeper just didn't go down. He was big and tall, so he's then got the skill to be able to take it around him, and he's just been, you know, done with his own first touch. I don't think he needed to go down, and as Carl said, he's too good to go down.
I don't understand why this is even a question, because we wouldn't have fucking scored it anyway. But, what difference would it have made? Who are you going to give it to?
You could have got four. How dare you?
Give us 5 penalties. We won't score any. It doesn't matter. I think that's what it is. Arsenal know they're really shit at penalties, so they just don't go down.
At least we're getting them now.
Yeah, we're getting them, but it makes no difference.
We're not used to them. I see Falcao scored a couple for Monaco. Oh, do you hear about that leak of all those documents with the agents? Oh... Have you heard about that?
Yeah, there's something similar goes on around everywhere in football with players getting... you say that.
Look into it. I know Paul Iderson was a bit of a dodgy move back in the day, but that's it. That's where it started and stopped with us.
I won't say anything incriminating. I'm too young to be sued.
No, you don't. You're in prison as it is. You don't want to be doubling prison. Just put you in a box in the corner. right, next goal. 70. I think it was 70. Yeah, because it all went a bit mental, didn't it? 72nd minute. We got 2-0 up. So I've just put Super Sanchez goal, just like the one he tried against Bournemouth. Carl, what was your thoughts on that goal? Are you muted?
Oh, just before he unmutes himself.
Hold on, yeah.
Oh, yeah, just quick side note, because I was discussing this with someone, I think, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. It'd be really great if football had a situation where you could bring in like a spot penalty kick taker. If everyone on your team is shit at penalties, right? And you just have one person that comes on and does the penalties for you.
Oh, a little bit like in the FA Cup semi-final, in like the last minute of extra time, they go, right, we'll bring all you off and bring on all the penalty takers.
Yeah, but I think TCA would still be playing for Southampton.
Yeah, I think it'd be great because you get like lots of cameos from really old players. We could get like Perez and Henri back to sort of emulate.
I was there that day. Oh, no, he laughed my arse off. Yes, so Carl.
Yeah, the second goal. The second goal, that was the run, wasn't it? Where he picked up the ball, ran past, was it two players? And the only place he could have scored was where he put the ball. It's just a fierce shot right into the bottom corner. It's brilliant. I think it was more, I'll be honest, I think it's shit goalkeeping. Because if Cheka conceded that goal, I would have been pissed. So, but no, it's what Alexis can do. It's absolutely brilliant. And that's why I think he's so vital to us. You know, once he got into that box, they wouldn't dare tackle him because obviously any touching, he was probably going to go down. It would have been a penalty. So, but I think it's brilliant the way he just picked up the ball. The change of the turn was just absolutely brilliant. And the change of pace where he just darted for the box and shot and just, it's what he can do. And that's why I think he's so integral to our season. Like he's just, we need to keep him because he's just absolutely brilliant. And that is the reason why I think he's one of the best players in the league, because he can do things like that. And there are not many people in the league, probably in world football, that can do what he done.
Just saying hello to Mr. Oh, but MT Holic. Bloody hell, Mr. Holic. I better change that. I don't want you getting angry. Don't worry about muting. Even some of the best of us answer questions whilst muted, don't they, Mr. Holic? I edited it out of the podcast. Don't worry. It didn't happen, David. Josh, do you agree with what Carl was saying? I think it's he didn't have much choice.
No, absolutely. And that's what we pay the money for Alexis. And for players of that quality to be able to put the ball in the only place you can put it where it's going to be a goal. And it's absolutely obscene, that goal.
Should it be illegal? It was that good.
Yeah,
it should be a goal.
Yeah, should be up there on Pornhub with his step over.
Kiddies, don't Google that, please. You'll never be able to leave it. Sim. Yeah, anything to add for what these two fine gentlemen have already said?
No, I think they summed it up pretty good.
Ah, good. Well, before we move on to the next point, Carl, you put something in the chat in the box about Unique. What was that? And I can see what it is. You can just say it.
Did I?
Yeah, you put a question to the panel.
Oh.
Don't make me read it out.
Oh, sorry. It's about Unique79 asked a question about... What is it about our away performances that eclipsing our home performances? That's a good. Oh my God, Mo Hayder's on the fucking TV. Why is he on BT Sport under 10 over? Sorry.
I mean, it is BT Sport. They are like, yeah.
BT Sport under 10 over.
I would still live stream from NBC just so I wouldn't have to listen to those shit commentators.
Sorry.
Oh, where's the offspring? I want to throw something at the telly because I'm about to. I've got Ian Wright at the moment.
About away performances. I don't know. Sometimes I think it's the pressure of our fans. Do you know?
Much more support from the away fans, don't they?
Yeah,
our away fans are legendary.
Our away support is absolutely brilliant. I've been to a few away games, and the difference, you know, we make so much more noise when we're away. Atmosphere, no matter what ground it is so much better than the home support. So maybe it's that. At home, you know, you got any little thing that happens, you've got the moan and the groans and, you know, things like that. And sometimes it reflects on the players. I totally understand. But I think that's what it is. It's probably the pressure that's taken off us when you've got your support. And, you know, maybe only a little section, a little pocket of support when you're away, but it makes a lot of difference. And when you've got them constantly singing Arsenal, Arsenal, and constantly singing like your name throughout the whole game, and that's what the away support does. You know, it gives you a little bit of boost, so that's probably what it is, I think.
Yes. Right, Josh, do you want to ask the question that you've put in here from Ron Paul Swede?
So we've got RB Leipzig coach, and I'm going to Danny this name up. Ralph Hasenhuttle.
I actually got someone on the YouTube. If you put anything in the YouTube comments, people, I personally go and read every single comment, whether it's radio show or podcast, and I do talk to you. I say talk to you people. Jesus, that sounds a bit condescending, doesn't it? I was replying, someone was kind enough to tell me how to say Eddie Nikita's name right, and I've just said it wrong again then. So go on, Josh.
So yeah, because he confirmed, well, during the week, that a story that was run about him being approached by the Arsenal board to replace Arsene Wenger. I'm just wondering if anyone had any thoughts on it.
Well, it's not Red Bull, is it? It's Rasenball, because they're not allowed to be called Red Bull because the league won't allow them. Shame Drew's not here because Drew knows all about this. But any of Asim or Carl?
I mean, that says Ron Paul Swede, RB Leipzig coach, and I just thought that was the right back coach. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, is that a no then?
Well, I think, see, I don't know, I underestimate maybe like how necessary it is for a manager to come in and have like this wild acclaim for the, like, as in, I don't know, say someone like Mourinho wouldn't fit us, someone like Simeone maybe would, and someone like Klopp maybe would, maybe wouldn't. It's a complete and utter gamble. You've got United, the richest club in the world essentially, and they fucked this choice up three times. I'd say three times, but they fucked it up three times, and they've got all the resources in the world. So it's going to be complete and utter potluck. So I'm not going to make, there's no point having any sort of speculation and thinking, oh, will this person be good? Or this person's not going to fit, because really it's going to come down to luck. And I just hope, and I know that Arsene's mentality, and he's sort of said this throughout his tenure, that he wants to leave the club in a position where the person taking it forward feels like, okay, I can work with this and just not leave it in complete shit. And I think that's what he's doing with this team. There's lots of areas where you can think, okay, I can change out this player. Like the team that we have now, you could mold it into a team that works around a centre forward like Drew, use a pacey striker like Alexis. You could put more strength in the midfield and sort of add bodies to the types of Cock, or work with Xhaka and have a creative type. It's quite a flexible team as it is. And it's, I don't know, I think it'll be interesting to see what manager we get and what direction they decide to take. But I don't think there's any point in speculating whatsoever.
I can hear a meh. What's that sound? Is that your heartbeat? Yes, are you a robot?
It's a panpipe solo.
Anyone else? Any other parts they want to say on that before I move on?
I don't think we know who the next manager is going to be. I don't think Arsenal know who the next manager is going to be at the moment. Apparently, I think I heard last week that he's been offered a rolling contract or something like that. I don't
Wenger.
Know. Yeah. Mm. So I don't really know. In world football right now, I wouldn't like to speculate who's going to be our next manager. I mean, Chris probably is not going to like this, but I think the dream probably was Pep, wasn't it? I think he was the sort of the person that everyone was clamouring for, but obviously he's seen that the Premier League is not as easy as Spain or Germany. So at the moment, if he used to offer me any manager now, I really want to know. Like, I know I can't see Ancelotti being at Bayern Munich for very much longer because they're not doing as good as they should. So there's a possibility that he might leave maybe at the end of the season. You never know if they don't win the Champions League. So at the moment, there's no point speculating because I don't think anybody knows who the next manager is going to be for Arsenal Football Club.
That's the way it has been for... Oh, what is it, 20 odd years, 25 years? Are we coming up to 25? 20? Oh, I can't remember. It's 1990.
It's 22, isn't it?
God, it's so long. I had hair back then. Wow. who's doing the panpipe solo? I can hear it. Beep.
I think you're hearing things, Danny.
It's Sim. He's doing, playing the panpipe with his toes. He's that talented. Okay, right. Next thing we're going to move on to is the 80th minute. The goal from, I don't know who scored in the 80th. Was it Ozil?
No, Alexis again.
Was it? I didn't put who it was. I've put one touch control, aim, shoot, and place it just past the keeper. 12th goal of the season. Sim, what do you think to that?
Mate, was that not the one that just came across me? Just hit it first time.
I can't remember. I was
the 86th minute was his hat trick goal where he lobbed the keeper, wasn't it? Where he was offside.
Yeah, okay.
I'm talking about the 80th minute.
Oh,
yes, you're talking about his second goal.
I'm going to go and have a look at this. What did you order? Yeah, his second goal. Yeah.
His second goal, yeah. The second goal.
Yes. I mean, it was Ozil, Alexis, and then Ox scored the last goal, right?
Ox and then second last. Okay. So many goals. Oh, I love it when that happens. So many goals. Yeah. We've got no idea what order they went in.
And then a horse scored one in the middle.
Yeah, all that. They had 56,000 people there today. Jesus, no wonder they moved to that shithole. As John called it, the Tesco Stadium. Go on, Sim.
So wait, I still don't know what goal we're talking about.
We're talking about Alexis's second one.
Okay.
And I can't remember how the goal went in because it's all of a kerfuffle in my brain.
I think there was literally a kerfuffle and the ball just popped out. And he saw it in front of him and thought, I've had quite a lot of luck recently. We're just hitting the ball quite sweetly into the corner to the side of the keeper. Let's just do it. Let's see what happens. And it turns out, lo and behold, if you aim on target to the corner near where the goalkeeper can't really dive, you might score a goal. And that is what
Santi was looking at that going, how the fuck did he, what's going on? How did he do that? Why? Hold on, also, but he ran back to the back of the goal to try and get it from Rose Ed. He went, no, it's in the goal.
So let me get this right. Are you saying that we should shoot more?
I don't know if I'd put it like that, but it can't hurt, right? I've gotten to the point now where there's some games. I think actually it was the EFL one, which I still don't like calling the EFL. To me,
League
it's not Carling Cup.
Fucking
I still
call it rebranded nonsense. It's the Milk Cup.
Can we call it the Carling Cup? We just agree it's called the Carling Cup. Well, anyway, the Carling Cup.
Yeah.
In that game, I thought, you know, we're losing. And I thought, you know, we might have a better chance at winning if we, I don't know, maybe had a shot at goal. It might help. I don't know. Like, I'm not a manager, right? Yeah. I've got no experience in this. I just suspect, right? You know, maybe.
Well, should we concede less? That's what we should talk about. Like some wizard on bloody from the internet.
See, Mike Alone put it best, you know. If you don't concede, you won't lose any games. So, great.
All right,
I was going to say, Michael Owen is a genius.
He's a fucking no-need twat. Right, to try and get back to some point we can all recognise in our head, 83rd minute, West Ham get a free kick, and Payet takes the free kick, comes back off the bar, and I think I tweeted that the best West Ham's best player was the goalpost, and then rebounds, and Andy Carroll's standing there, why does my hair look right? Oh, it's hit me in the face and gone in. Oh, Josh, what did you think at that point? Do you think
No, I think our defence defended that. Like, we were 3-0 up and couldn't be fucked.
Yeah.
So,
it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those goals you'd be like, oh, we conceded that. Wasn't that clever.
Booked, didn't he?
It was just a case of it, as you say, coming off the arse of a horse. So, yeah, there's not much to that goal. Really,
was it really a free kick? Because I know Mustafi was... I remember seeing him getting booked and he wasn't too happy about it.
I think that was more for him to just delay Payet taking a free kick. In the same way that you delay a penalty being taken by taking the ball away and shouting at the referee, so he's too busy, preoccupied to take a quick one.
And just go and lick the ball, then he won't want to touch it.
Exactly.
Right, because we're running out of time, I move on to the next goal. Carl, another long-range curling shot. Never rated their keeper, as we've been over before. Love the Ox. I put that in capital letters. And I think it's his sixth goal of the season. What did you think when the Ox thought, fuck it, I'll have a go?
I shouted very loudly.
Like, what did you shout?
I was like, fuck me! literally. Because this is what I'm saying about the Ox. This is why he's frustrating, because that just proves that he's got that in his locker. He can do it. And like I said, I'm not saying that he should do that week in, week out, because no player can. But a bit more consistency. If he, you know, does that more often, then it will show people that he is a very good player, because he literally is. So for me, he needs to do that a bit more. But the goal was absolutely brilliant. It's just world class. If there's any other player, if that was Payet had scored that goal, people would be going on and on about it, saying, oh, look, he's back to his best, he's shining, he's brilliant, because the goal was absolutely world class. I know the keeper was shit, but don't take nothing away from the actual shot, which was a very well placed shot.
We couldn't have done it. Well,
speak for yourself.
Have you gone quiet, Carl?
Oh, am I? No, so do you know what? I'm half watching BT Sport, and this is how shit they are. And I don't even know why I see it on my TV. They're doing the mannequin challenge. So you've got Owen Hargreaves, Ian Wright, and flipping Rio Ferdinand trying to do the mannequin challenge. Let it go. Like, you're on TV. Just fucking talk about the game. But anyway.
It should be banned.
It should. But Chamberlain, it shows sort of the class that he has. And obviously, for me, that probably, I know, probably debatable, but for me, that was a goal of the game. I think it just about picked Alexis Ferd, just because of the sort of the curling, the range, and because it's Oxlade-Chamberlain, and sort of you expect them, sort of the last goal from Alexis, you sort of expect it from him because he's that good. But from Chamberlain, because it's such a shock, I think that for me would be the goal of the game.
Yes, Danny's not that I never have confidence issues, because I'm just genius or whatever I do, and hopefully it will help the Ox with a little bit of confidence, because he's still a young man, and I think he has had a bit of a bit of dipping confidence with some of the stuff, and he's not a regular starter. So stuff like that will hopefully mean for me that he'll get loads more games on left-hand side. Unique79 has a question here aimed directly at Josh. Oh, on a bloody page. Oh, here we go. Do you think he, as in Gabriel, will cope playing there until Bellerin returns? And there's a follow-up to that from Dom. It says, Bellerin should be back for the game against City. And then Unique has put, so Gabriel at right back against Stoke. Make sense of that if you can, Josh.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll do absolutely fine at Stoke. I'm pretty sure he's fluent in Neanderthal. So if he doesn't speak any other language.
He's not going to centre back, is he?
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't think anyone... I'd rather not have anyone else out there, I think. Maybe Holding, but again, I'm not going to put a guy who's trained as a centre-back for his first game coming in to come, especially at Premier League level, to in his debut season, going to Stoke. I'd rather put Gabriel there. And yeah, he didn't really do anything wrong. I had a feeling he was going to break someone's legs today, but he didn't. And especially with everything that's gone on with him this week. It was a fantastic performance from him.
Talking about Holding, that my favourite tweet of the year is someone did a picture of Rob Holding, holding Rob Holding, and it said, Rob Holding, Rob Holding. That is just, I don't know who did that, but you should take a bow, son. Right, we had another question in here. Well, I've got so many windows open. Here we go. Carl's put it in here. What's that question, Carl? Do you want to ask you or do you want to ask the others?
Ask the others, gone.
Unique79 again with another good question. Is anyone worried about these links with Ozil and Real Madrid, Carl, as you put it in there? What's your thoughts on it?
I'm not worried at all. I don't think he'll go back. Personally, the rumours that he's bought a £10 million house in London, for me, you wouldn't spend, well, maybe he's rich enough to do that, but I don't think you'd spend £10 million in a house if you weren't planning on living in it. I don't know if these rumours are true. It's just something that I've seen about. If it is true, and you have bought a £10 million house in London, I don't think you're going to go to Madrid. So, Renters Mark, I just see that, sorry.
Who put that? <It's him.
laughs> But no, I think he'll stay. I think he's going to sign another contract. I genuinely do.
I'm give him a contract about... no matter how much he wants. Even if he said, I want 250 grand a week, would you just give it to him?
250 a week, yes.
250.
I would give him 250 a week, 100%. Because in footballing terms, and the amount of money that Arsenal generate, and Arsenal are a very rich club, I would give him 250 because he's worth it. He is one of the talisman of our team. And if you think of, I shouldn't really compare to any other player, but you think of people like Wayne Rooney, he's on like 350 a week. People like Yaya Toure is on like
2. And how much of that is he earning?
Exactly.
He's not even playing. And you think of birthday
people,
cake.
You think of people like Gareth Bale and yeah, they're on some stupid amounts. Like,
well, they have to pay Aguero that, didn't they? Because how the hell, if that had been any other club, that he would have gone to Spain by now. So they must be paying him bucket loads.
Yeah, it's silly. So I know Arsenal have got like this price cap where they don't like paying players over 100. I think we sort of broke that when we bought Sol Campbell. And then obviously as years have gone on, we've upped the price. But I know there's not a person in the Arsenal team that gets over 180, I think. I think Ozil must be on, or Alexis... Both of them must be on about 180. I don't think they get any more than that. And to be honest, if Theo is worth 140, then come on now, you've got to give Alexis. If he wants 200, 250, you've got to give him that.
Ryan Sawyer in the chat book is any relation to Tom Sawyer or Sawyer off a Lost, let us know. Adjust for inflation of the recent TV contract league-wide, 250 is the new 150.
I think the problem with throwing all the money at Ozil and the reason why we don't offer stupid contracts is because then once you do that, you're breaking the wage structure. So you give Ozil 250 and then Alexis is in demanding 250.
They can both
Theo's in. Yeah, they can. But then you're starting getting Theo coming in. You're starting getting the Ox coming in and demanding.
Banging on the door. I want 10 grand a week.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, where are we going to now? Here we go. Move on to the 88th minute goal. Fucking, it's taken us longer than the game to get to the bloody goal. 88 minutes, Sanchez chip, like Ozil did v Ludogorets. This is when I said earlier, I think they're just trying to outdo each other. He's 13th for the season. Commentator said it was offside, was it, Sim?
No, of course not. What are you on? What are you talking about, Danny?
What
do you mean offside? I mean, in fairness, he could have been like 10 yards offside. I'd never call it. If I was, I'd love to be a flagsman just for one important game against United.
Flagsman? What is this? 1962? I say, sir.
I would like to be a flagsman.
Jumpers for goalposts.
But I'd be quite willing to go through all the training. Actually, do they have any training? I don't know.
But well, at the beginning, they ask you what team you support, and you'll probably just go Arsenal. Oh, Spurs. No, I mean Spurs.
Yeah. Actually, no, I want to be able to go to Spurs games too. What do I not give a shit about?
Barnet. You don't like football. You like rugby.
Yeah. What's football? I mean, why is the ball the wrong shape? Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I'd do all the linesman shit, and I would never call Alexis off. But the great thing about that is that when he got there, there was not a doubt in my mind that he was going to finish it. Mm. Which is, I don't know, I think in general is really weird to feel when Arsenal are about to finish chances. It's quite nice having players on the pitch that getting up there, you're just so confident that he's going to finish it in. And I think, yeah, it was a beautiful finish. And one that I just expected him to score. I was already celebrating. I saw him free. I saw him like going towards goal. I was like, that's it. That's number three. He's done it.
Done. Yeah. Talking of confidence, Josh, the commentator said, how much confidence will this run of 13 Premier League games unbeaten give Arsenal? Notice we've had to clip it down now that we can't say 500 games because we've lost in the League Cup. Do you think that will, plus with Man City having Sims been asking, I think Aguero's out for four.
And yeah, I think, he's out for four.
And,
but we're the third game anyway, so even if he's out for
three. Yeah.
So that's good. What's your thoughts on as a team being 13 games unbeaten and comprehensively smashing them? We've only lost one league game all season, which was just a slobber knocker against Liverpool. First game of the season, it's like a pre-season friendly. It was mental. We should have beaten them 5-0. They're rubbish.
Yeah, we didn't really have any players available for that. I'm pretty sure we put out a reserve centre-back pairing and yeah, it wasn't a great game and we weren't at full strength. Confidence, well, winning games always helps. We've got to go to Basel. That's the next game. That's a bit of a dead rubber because I don't think we can go ahead of PSG unless I think Ludogorets turn up and smash six past them, which probably won't happen. And if they do, PSG are putting 90 past them. So
Cavani getting all of them.
Yeah, exactly. And then just put something like Chris out on his T-shirt when he does. But yeah, no, obviously confidence is going to come with winning. And yeah, I just think it's going to go into our next games. And the longer we keep it up, it would be for the better. If we start going into the run of where we start drawing games again, we'd be slightly worried because we'll end up in a situation a bit like Spurs were in earlier in the season, where they were just drawing games constantly and they would actually be better off losing a couple and then winning a couple because we'll get a better return. But we've had that period, I think, and we move into our favourite period. Got November off our back, and we're into December with aplomb.
Jolly good. Right, Rudy's asked a question. I'll give this to Carl. How do we line up against Basel? Do you see many changes?
Hopefully, Giroud's back, so I'd give Alexis a rest. I really think that Alexis needs a little rest. I'll put him on the bench, hopefully. Giroud's back, or if not, we start Perez. I think we go with pretty much the same team as today. I probably wouldn't start Theo. I'll probably put Chamberlain on the right. Iwobi on the left. I would also
Did you
start...
see any of the League Cup kids coming to get a game?
No. I don't think so.
that's a definite no.
Gibbs will start. Yeah. Ospina will start, but apart from that, I think maybe
how about right back?
Jenkinson might start away from home.
If he's feeling all right, if he's had a little cuddle.
Yeah, I think Jenkinson might start, but apart from that, I think the centre midfield pairings should be the same. I wouldn't change that personally myself because he needs to kind of build up a relationship or even possibly Ramsey might come in, you never know, but I personally would keep it the same as today.
Okay, I won't ask you two that question. I'll move on to another one. AFC 1886 says Fernandinho is out for three games. He's a very important player. I think we all agree with that. Copite Kieran, be very scared when you play Liverpool, Arsenal fans. Personally, I'm a massive fan of Klopp. I think we should be a bit worried when we do go play the Bin Dippers. Oh, here we go. God, they're all coming in thick and fast. Marble Halls TV says Ramsey Xhaka versus Basel, Iwobi and Maitland-Niles. Play where Maitland-Niles is a midfielder. I don't think that Jeff is a position. Josh, anybody from the League Cup run that you would like to see start, apart from the obvious Gibbs at left back, Jenkinson at right back, and yeah, any that you'd like to see start?
Well, I kind of disagree with not putting Maitland-Niles in. I think I would start him.
Where though?
Right back.
He's not a right back though, is he?
Well, he's played there a couple of times this season, and you know, we're 4 or 5 deep into our right back reserves. I don't think we've got any right backs to play there.
Well, I did tweet that I saw Lauren on Sky Sports yesterday, and he looked pretty thin. If anyone's got his number, do let him know that he could, well, you know, pull a shirt back on.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was saying that when he came to Arsenal that he struggled to speak English, and they said, oh, how about Ray Parlour? He said, I still don't understand what Ray Parlour says now. Something along those lines. Genius. What a great player he was for us.
Yeah, so I would put a couple of fringe players in. I think we've done it before with the final game in the group stage where we've had, was it in Turkey where Stefan O'Connor and Maitland-Niles came on and Zelalem.
No.
They would all come on for that game, and maybe even Chris Willock, I think, might start on the wing.
Yes. Sim, anybody you'd like to see come through? I know Eddie Nikita, whose name I will go and find out on YouTube and find out how Matey Boy told me how to spell it. You've got to say it in 4 sections. He scored another one today against Chelsea. Willock, I think he might have scored one today. And you've got Malin, who's still only 17, Dunnell Malin, the Dutch bloke. He's scoring them for the under-18s. In fact, he might have been playing in the under-23s, one of those lot. Oh, I'm forgetting. Anyone you'd like to see start against Basel that isn't a main 11? Or do you think maybe we should just make sure that we win the game?
But the game has no real meaning, right? I mean, the odds of PSG losing massively, it doesn't make a lot of sense. No. You said earlier something about Jeff not being able to play for some reason or something?
No, what the Jeff? No, I think he shouldn't be playing. Every game he's played in the League Cup, he's been rubbish.
Oh, no. Jeff is like future Ballon d'Or winner. Like,
is
saying
he?
It now. Yeah, no, most definitely.
Jeff's the amazing. Jeff.
It is the Jeff. Watch the space, because the Jeff is something special. Now, I think the only thing that I worry about is sometimes when you put together a team, like almost fake 11, just for the sake of putting them out, they don't really build any confidence together. And sometimes that can have like a deteriorating effect over time, because they're just thrown in a game that doesn't matter with people they don't really play with that often. They suffer like a 2-0 loss. It's not great for their overall confidence and development. Saying that, though, I don't want to risk any of my centre-backs. And I don't want to risk Monreal right now.
Here we go. You know, I was saying that someone told me how to say it. It was Thunder Road. See, I do read these things. And he says, Nikita is N-K-E-T-A. N-K-E-T-A. Fucking hell, mate. Eddie to his mates. Why is someone typing penis in here? You can use the C word in here and no one cares, as long as you don't aim it at anybody. He's put penis, big fat penis. Invincible Zombie 1. What the fuck are you doing? Jesus, we don't usually have retards like that putting shit in it. I think what I'm going to do, and we're going to ban him, you can sit on the naughty step for 5 minutes. Go on, off you go, son.
You've been unnamed benched. Penises are very dangerous, Danny. Please don't encourage that.
Yeah, so I was having a few messages back and forth with Thunder Road. So, yeah, thanks for that. T equals T, not tar. Eddie Naki. I'm not even going to bother. Eddie. I'm just going to call him Eddie from now on.
Lego.
Guys, this is England post-Brexit. This is what we've been here we are, guys. This is what led us here.
Even Sims changed his name to Gary just to be safe. Craig Barlow has put, game against Basel, it's a dead game. Keep our starting 11 away from it. And that's a good point. A few people have mentioned that we should maybe play... Lucas, play him on the left, I think, yeah. But Iwobi has been dropped from the first team, so I think, Carl, you were saying that we should play Iwobi. I agree that we should play Iwobi. Any more questions from anybody before we close this down? Because we've been going for 1 hour and 18 minutes. Here we go. Ross AFC, I haven't proofread this. Would you be happy with a new contract for Wenger, even if we won nothing? I would. Carl?
It depends how long, I'll be honest with you. I think it should be a rolling contract if he does got a contract. Just because if a manager of some sort does become available, we need to think about the long-term future. And I think Arsene Wenger cannot go on forever. You know, everything has to come to an end at some point. And I feel that if we keep just relying on Arsene Wenger, when it comes to the point where, you know, he will just walk away, one day he's just going to say, I cannot go on any longer. I think we need to have plans in place to get someone else. So I think if we've got a rolling contract, then that's better than offering like a 2-year contract.
Right. Greg says 2 years. Ross says 1 year. Greg says we need some stability. Josh, and he said Ross then. What do you think?
Yeah, we could do with some more stability after 20 plus years of the same manager.
I don't know whether I'll get up in the morning or the afternoon, yeah. Whether he's still going to be manager. I can't cope.
I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks now, and you look at when the last big job came up in England, and it was the Man U job for when Fergie left, and you saw managers from around the world slowly doing things with their contracts that made them, you know, a little bit more available. So Pep went on sabbatical, you saw Klopp doing it, you saw Jose doing what Jose does best and fuck it up somewhere so he'd be available for the job. We haven't seen that this season, unless Ancelotti's doing something that we don't know about. I'm pretty sure there'll be rumours inside football before we know anything. That we can, that we'll slowly see these managers from around the world kind of putting themselves out on sabbaticals just to make sure they're available for when this position becomes available. And I don't see that happening for maybe another 2 seasons.
Oh,
so give them a 2-year.
I agree with that. Copite Kieran has been, he's saying Coutinho free kick against Arsenal, though, as he's been, we don't ban fans from other teams unless they start being rude to other people. So we don't mind having a giggle with it. I think Liverpool are going to do really well. I mean, without Plavin Coutinho being injured, I think that they might be in a little bit of trouble. But
yeah, is he still talking about the free kick from first game of the season? Because I remember being there and moments before Coutinho kicked that, I was like, Coutinho, shit. Fucking prick scored. And it was the most annoying thing in the world.
You see, the problem is that this season, and I think I said it earlier, that if we, I'd like to ask the panel the question, like, right now, at this precise moment, who do you think, if you used to put a bet on, who do you think is going to win the league?
It's
going to be us or Chelsea, really, I think. But then again, we said us or Man City, I said at the beginning, and then Man City have fallen apart, and Chelsea was shit, and now Chelsea are good again. But Liverpool have been solid all the way through, haven't they?
But, see, I think, so the reason I think Liverpool are going to fall away, and is because their defence is shit, right? The reason I didn't think City were going to win the league this year was because their defence is shit. And I actually thought that Spurs and Chelsea would be the two teams that actually did a lot. And Spurs haven't been doing so well, but I think defence is usually a good way to go because over long periods of time, like not letting goals in is a pretty good indicator of how high someone's going to finish. And I think Chelsea at the moment are definitely the ones to beat. But I find it ridiculous that people are saying that City are like really legitimate title threats when Arsenal's ahead of them, and we've played just as tough games. So
I'll keep it that way, though.
Yeah, I think
people are going to not really talk about us being title contenders.
Completely. I was thinking this earlier, actually. I don't think there's any situation that I can envisage Arsenal winning the league or they stay favourites. Yeah. They have to do it from an underdog position because there's like any opportunity that ever comes for Arsenal to go top of the league when our rivals drop points in front of us, we never seem to take. So we prefer it when we just go first.
I can't really think of a league season where that's actually been the case, though, that we've been favourites and won it.
God,
I'm pretty sure all of them we've come from, we stormed up from fourth and flown through. The only one where we didn't win it was probably the season where we fucked it up in Birmingham.
When Theo got injured against Spurs. Was that season, weren't we like top for 200 days or something stupid?
Yeah, and then went 1 year, calendar year, we've been the best team over a calendar year a couple of times.
Yeah.
Josh Kakalakalakas has said, I hope Donnell Malin prospers and gets into the first team. The kid seems like he'll come good. He's a very, very good player. Marble Halls always has interesting stuff to say, says he thinks it's time that Wenger went, no matter what. Rudy says, he's talking to someone called Ryan. We should underscore that today was a big win. We played well. I think we're closing to finding our starting 11 from Greg. Right, there you go. I think we should wrap this wonderful thing up now. Anybody got anything else they'd like to add before we close the show? Carl?
We're going to win the league. We're going to win everything. We're going to win triple.
And we're going to be put back in the League Cup and win it.
Exactly. At the end of the season, they're all going to laugh. And when we win the Champions League and, you know, everything.
Josh?
No, I think, yeah, as channel what Carl said, we're going to win everything. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Stephen Edwards says, thank you, boys, for another good show. Invincible Zombie is back. Only if you behave yourself, you cheeky monkey. Sim, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, Ryder Cup, F1 Championship. You know, that's it. It's all ours. It's all there for the taking. I reckon we're going to win the Champions League this year, you know. I reckon we're going to do it.
There you go. Zombie is gone forever now. You just fucking idiot. We're just going to get another account. It'll be Zombie 2. This will go on forever and ever. We very rarely have to block anyone. I think Carl got a bit block happy once and blocked someone. They're getting... Carl's 9'6" and no one's going to fucking argue with him. Right. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining me. Carl, Josh and Sim.
Thank you very much.
You're almost welcome.
Yep, thank you very much. So we're at 193 people are looking at the moment. Oh, we've got 42 thumbs up. If anybody here, we aren't following you on Twitter or I'm not following you with the Hybrian, go and tweet us saying, I'm a mushroom and we shall give you a follow back. You don't even have to follow us. That's how kind we are. So thank you very much, everybody, for watching. And we will be back on, is it Tuesday or Wednesday we're playing?
Tuesday night.
Tuesday, so I shall be back Tuesday. Well, unless Chris wants to do it, with another show and with more people. So, yeah, if you liked everybody that was on here, go and have a look at our Twitter. Give them all a lovely follow. Sim is criminally underfollowed. I don't know why. After he's been the star of a Goonosphere.
Please don't follow me. I don't. I hate having an account where people like care about what you say. It's so much better being the type of person that can say whatever you like and have no repercussions.
Oh, did you just type to you? You want to make a point on the manager? Too late. Can you do it in three words?
No, but I'm going to quickly say it now.
Go on.
Right. So I think that we should maybe look at what City did. Pep, where he knew he was going to get the job but didn't immediately start, and he had time to sort of watch the team develop. So if we do give Arsene a rolling contract, I know people are really into the idea of him leaving straight away, maybe be a bit more open to the idea of picking a manager and letting him see Arsene's last season rather than just being thrown straight into the job. I think it'd make a lot of sense.
We will have to end it on those fine, wise words from Not Sim. All right, thank you very much to all our wonderful listeners and you three wonderful gentlemen. And yeah, we will be back on Tuesday. Nanu Nanu Cheeky Monkeys.
better pass the joint. Stop hitting cause you know you got asthma. Crack the 40 open, homie, and guzzle it. Cause I know the weed in my system is getting lonely. I gotta take a whiz test to my PO. I know I feel cause I done smoked major weed, bro. And every time we with Chris, that fool rolling up a fatty. But the Tangeray straight had me. Made my yesternight thing, got me hung off the night train. You fade, I fake, so let's head to the east. Hit the stroll to 9-0 so we can roll big hashish. I wish I could fade the 8, but I'm no budget. Still rolling the 2 though, cut the same old bucket. Foggy window, soggy endo. I'm in the land, get you smoke with my kid. Up in smoke, yuck, I spray you laying down. Up in the OAK, the town. Homies don't play around, we down to blaze a pound. Then ease up, speed up through the ESO. Drink the BSOP up with the lemon squeeze up. And everybody's throwed up. I'm the roller, that's quick to fold up. Blunt out of a bunch of sticky doja. Hold up, suck up my weed, it's all you need kicking. Cause we're IBs, we need to have like the foo-foo.